IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A day after Arnold Schwarzenegger's recall victory, a dispute erupted between the governor-elect and the state's most powerful legislator over the tripling of California's car tax. Schwarzenegger told State Senate Leader John Burton, a Democrat from San Francisco, that he could single-handedly repeal the tax hike as soon as he took office. The senator disagreed. According to a Los Angeles Times poll of voters who cast ballots Tuesday, Schwarzenegger's base of support is heavily white, male, conservative, Republican, and Christian. By contrast, Schwarzenegger was relatively unpopular among blacks, Latinos, Asians, Democrats, liberals, and Jews. He ran weakest in San Francisco and the surrounding area, as well as parts of Los Angeles County. Unfortunately for Schwarzenegger, that's the turf of the liberal Democrats who dominate the legislature and set its agenda. The White House and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld moved quickly on Wednesday to contain an unusual public breach over Iraq policy. A day after he testily told European reporters that he was not consulted before a reorganization intended to give the White House more control over the occupation of Iraq. Appearing at a NATO conference in Colorado Springs, Rumsfeld tried to dismiss any talk of his diminished role in Iraq policy. But the tone contrasted with his harsh language on Tuesday when he said President Bush had never discussed with him the creation of the Iraq Stabilization Group set up by Condoleezza Rice. In the seeming criticism of the White House, he suggested that the National Security Council was finally focusing on doing what it should have been doing all along. Next week, the familiar mustachioed face of Saddam Hussein will begin to disappear from the Iraqi dinar following the issue of new banknotes by the occupation authority. Last week, teachers were told to encourage students to rip the once obligatory photo of Saddam from their textbooks. Another assault on Saddam's legacy is underway in the Republican Palace, where the occupation authority is making preparations to shut down the food distribution system, which gave free rations of flour, rice, cooking oil, and other staples to every Iraqi. Described by the UN as the world's most efficient food network, the system still keeps Iraqis from going hungry. But the U.S. Civilian Administrator of Iraq, Paul Bremer, views it as a dangerous socialist anachronism. The Coalition Provisional Authority is planning to abolish it in January, despite warnings from its own technical experts that this could lead to hunger and riots. More news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A man is recovering in a Vancouver hospital after his attempt to steal a roll of wire ended up giving him a 27,000-volt electrical shock. He was found Monday wandering without his shoes, which were blown off when he tried to disconnect the wire from a running generator. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called Hide the Pay Raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost-of-living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects, but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces the phone number is 800-TALK-YES, and if you'd like to email Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. I just noticed here on CNN, the Democratic candidates are all there. Everybody's in shirt sleeves. What's up with that? Except, of course, former Senator Carol Mosley Braun. But what is this? It looks like an after-school meeting at a Catholic high school or something. If you want to watch this while you're listening to the program, go ahead. You have my permission if you want to switch to CNN. You're probably already there. But they're all wearing the same thing. Looks like all of them have on blue shirts, and they're all rolled up. Howard Dean's sleeves are rolled up the highest. Oh, well. We will have a bit of sound for you. Bush, of course, the perennial campaigner. They used to say that Clinton always campaigned. Bush campaigns when he's on the John. You know, he's always saying, "Well, we had to get the tyrant Saddam or something." Anyway, he's on the campaign trail. His spinmeister speechwriters have very subtly changed some of the wording that goes into "too stupid to be president's" mouth, and it's very interesting to watch this evolution over the past, it's only been the past couple of months, 3 months, in this full-throated attempt to gloss over or hide or deny the many administration lies that caused the United States of America to preemptively attack another country that was no threat to us whatsoever, but whose oil we wanted. So it we'll have that sound for you, and you can hear it yourself. Hey, if I were to sit behind this microphone one night and say the following, you know, I think it's time we put a nuclear bomb into the State Department. I think it's time we blew up the State Department. Now, if I were to say that just as a passing or very deliberately and coldly, I have a feeling that I would get a visit from somebody, from the FBI or the Secret Service, or somebody. Pat Robertson did exactly that on his filthy little television program. When was it, today or yesterday? The State Department has now protested to Robertson. calm down, Mike. They didn't send the police or the Secret Service or the FBI out to question this religio-fascist thug. They protested to him about what the State Department calls his, quote, despicable, close quote, suggestion that someone blow up the State Department with a nuclear bomb. Now, what happened, Pat Robertson, who is a Christ killer, a Christ defiler of the highest order, a filthy, filthy hypocrite, made the remark in an interview with this psychopathic Joel Mowbray, who is one of the PNAC people. He's the author of a new book entitled Dangerous Diplomacy, How the State Department Endangers America's Security. Now, you almost want to say, and get the colored man out of there, right? That's what they're talking about. Only they wouldn't say colored man. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher asked comments, said today, I lack sufficient capabilities to express my disdain. I think the very idea is despicable. What? That's the best you can do, Richard, you half-witted geek? Somebody suggest a nuclear bomb in the State Department? And you think it's despicable? You're having a hard time expressing your disdain? If I were to suggest that, Richard, you'd have the police out here. According to Richard Boucher, the State Department has made its views clear to Pat Robertson, added a State Department official who asked not to be named. Oh, God, don't name me. Don't name me. But we've told him. We've told him. Pat Robertson, you're a bad man for saying that. We don't like it. Robertson introduced this thug Mowbray on his Christian. You know, I bet Jesus, wherever he is, would like to get Pat Robertson around the neck and kill him 7 or 8 or 20 times. You know, Jesus could kill him, bring him back to life, kill him, bring him back to life, kill him, bring him back to life, kill him. Just keep doing it. Right? Isn't that what he did in the Bible? Huh? Jesus could say to Pat Robertson, you think I did something really cool with Lazarus? Watch this, you smarmy bastard. And then kill him, bring him back to life. Kill him, bring him back to life. And kill him different ways, Jesus could. And just keep bringing... Am I pushing this too far, Kathy? Okay. Introducing Mowbray on his Christian Broadcasting Network, Robertson said that a person who read Mowbray's book would reach the conclusion that a nuclear explosion at the State Department was the best solution. Robertson said, quote, I read your book. When you get through, you say to yourself, if I could just get a nuclear device inside Foggy Bottom, the State Department's main building, I think that's the answer. And you say, we got to blow this thing up. I mean, is it as bad as you say? Mowbray answered, it is. Kill him and then bring him back to life. Kill him, bring him back to life. Kill him, bring him back to life. That would be fun for Jesus, wouldn't it? Huh? I think it would. I think it would. I remember reading the Bible at my grandmother's sainted knee, on her sainted lap, and she used to tell me about how Jesus hated hypocrites. And she also told me that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. A matter of fact, he raised a couple of people, didn't he, Kathy? Wasn't there more than one? Yeah. But with Pat Robertson, he could kill him, bring him back to life, kill him, bring him back to life, kill him, bring him back to life. Wouldn't it be fun? I think Jesus would like that. Right before airtime, Anna sent me that story. I hadn't seen that story. Ugh. Okay, from one of our listeners, Rosemarie in San Francisco. Hey, Mike, here in San Francisco, which is not only a city but a county, we voted as follows. 80.44% voted against the recall. 63.29% voted for the Democratic governor, Bustamante. We are an island of sanity in a sea of madness. Wake me when it's over. You're right. It's never going to be over, Rosemarie. Hunter Thompson, who I believe sits at the right hand of God, well, not yet, but eventually will. I sometimes think that even though the Reverend Sun Myung Moon and the Bush family want you to believe that the Reverend Moon is the most recent reincarnation of the Christ, I think it's Hunter Thompson. Anyway, he writes a column for ESPN. Yeah, that is ESPN. And just a couple of comments from his column that was out there yesterday, ESPN.com. He says, blah, blah, blah. It's just another day of wondering out loud how I came to be working in the same sports desk as Rush Limbaugh. It seems impossible, but it happened. And I found an odd humor in it, a childish kind of suicidal glee that is common to apes and hyenas. But not for long. The next time I looked, that fool was gone from the organization. Whack! Just like that. One minute he was a famous football commentator, and the next minute he was gone. Rush never knew much about football anyway. He was dumb and loud, but he has never been anything more or less than a half-bright commentator with an agenda who wanted more than his 15 minutes of bitchy fame. He was greedy, and so was ESPN for hiring him. Rush Limbaugh is a lame professional swine, and he makes a good living at it. He is like a hired geek in some traveling backwoods carnival, the freaks who bite the heads off chickens. But Limbaugh is a modernized geek who thinks he can bite the heads off of people. Ho, 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 eh? Sure, let's hire Rush to rave on television so we can bump up our ratings. Ah, we should be ashamed of ourselves. And I am. Sorry, we got stupid here at ESPN for a minute. It won't happen again. Hunter Thompson cracks me up. Oh, God, he cracks me up. This is George Bush, November 22nd, a year ago. We're going to hunt him down. This is on Osama bin Laden. We're going to hunt him down one at a time. Doesn't matter where they hide. As we work with our friends, we will find them, bring them to justice. Now, this is Bush on Saddam Hussein earlier this, about a month ago. We are continuing the pursuit, and it's a matter of time before Saddam is found and brought to justice. And this is Bush 2 days ago. I don't know if we're ever going to find out the senior administration official who leaked everything. I don't have any idea. Boy, the way things change, huh? What else we got? I think I'm putting you people to sleep tonight, aren't I? Huh? Time for a commercial? You ready? Did I give the phone number? We're at 800-TALK. I know. You wait for me to get through my show opening monologue. I really don't have one. I'll tell you what. When do we do the break? Not for a while yet? Damn. 20 more seconds? Jesus, that's a lifetime in radio, isn't it? I want to... Bush congratulates Schwarzenegger. Which to me is just, I don't know, that just beggars my vocabulary. I can't come up with the phrasing to tell you. When I saw this headline in the San Francisco Chronicle, nothing formed after seeing the headline, Bush congratulates victorious Schwarzenegger. I mean, it's astonishing. But we have some comments that he made today, Bush. When he was out shilling, whoring his useless ass for money at the Republican National Committee. So stick around. Time for... Oh, good. We'll be right back.
Bye. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Boy, I couldn't help but flip to CNN and watch some of this ridiculousness that's going on with the nine Democratic presidential candidates. Of course, their part is ridiculous. To have nine people on a stage when you're trying to work within the format of television is stupidity to the 20th power. These guys should stop doing this. They really should. This is just asinine. But what is really bad about it, who's this little Nazi, Judy Woodruff, who ought to have a nuclear bomb dropped down the front of her designer sport coat? What's all of a sudden with her? I can't figure this out. And unless she's trying to do what Bernie Shaw did during the presidential debates in, when was it, 88, when he said to Dukakis, you're in favor of prisoner release, you're against the death penalty, whatever. What would you do if somebody raped and murdered your wife? You remember that famous golden moment from Bernard Shaw. Well, Judy Woodruff. Judy Wood, they had somebody from the audience say,
I'm trying to start a small business over here, and I want to know what you do. There's a lot of taxes. You know, it's hard to start a small business with the taxes. What would you do about the taxes for a small business? I'd like to address this to Representative Gephardt.
So Gephardt steps up and comes a little bit towards the center of the stage, and Judy Woodruff immediately jumps in. Well, Representative Gephardt, you're in favor of rescinding the Bush tax cuts, and you've said, well, that's the same as a tax increase. I think maybe somebody, maybe Pat Robertson ought to take his nuclear bomb and drop it into CNN. Would that work? Huh? Oh, my God. I think I'll hold on to the Bush stuff, the Bush sound bites for a little bit. Okay, can I do that? Okay, I'll do that. Because there's a story that's particularly galling to me. As you know, I have very low tolerance for religious mythology. I have great tolerance for spirituality. But religious mythology to me is poison, utter poison. The Catholic Church is telling people, according to the Guardian of London, the Guardian of the UK, I'm sorry, the Catholic Church is telling people in countries stricken by AIDS not to use condoms. Because condoms have tiny little holes in them through which the HIV virus can pass, which will then expose thousands of people to the risk of acquiring this virus and subsequently getting AIDS. That's what the Catholic Church is saying. The Church is making these claims across four continents, despite widespread scientific consensus that condoms are impermeable to the HIV virus. It cannot get through. A senior Vatican spokesman backs the claims from the church about permeable condoms. He says no. It's like having sex with a sieve on your thingy. Despite assurances by the World Health Organization that these charges are not true. Now, the church's claims are revealed in a BBC One panorama program that's going to be on this Sunday. It's called Sex in the Holy City. Get it? The World Health Organization has condemned the Vatican views, saying, quote, these incorrect statements about condoms and HIV are dangerous when we are facing a global pandemic which has already killed more than 20 million people and currently affects at least another 42 million. The World Health Organization says consistent and correct condom use reduces the risk of HIV infection by 90%. The World Health Organization says there may be breakage or slippage of condoms, but not holes through which the virus can pass. Now, some more on this when we come back. I think the Catholic Church, and if you're Catholic, I apologize for insulting you, but I think the Catholic Church ought to sit down and shut up. I really do.
Thieves. places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 10,000 grocery store workers in the St. Louis metropolitan area are walking picket lines this week. United Food and Commercial Workers Local 655 voted by a more than 2-to-1 margin Monday to reject a contract offer and authorize a strike at nearly 100 St. Louis stores owned by three chains. Immediately after the vote, two of the chains locked out their workers. Meanwhile, seven UFCW locals in Southern California, representing 70,000 grocery workers at more than 850 stores, hold strike votes today and tomorrow. A walkout there could happen as early as Saturday.
After nearly 4 months spent walking picket lines, finally some good news for 130 striking workers at Chicago's Congress Plaza Hotel. The National Labor Relations Board filed a complaint this week against hotel managers, charging they illegally cut employee wages and failed to bargain in good faith. Last June, Congress hotel managers broke from a citywide labor agreement and unilaterally slashed employee compensation, cutting wages by 7% and effectively eliminating health coverage. If the Labor Relations Board finds in the union's favor, their walkout will be declared an unfair labor practices strike, meaning workers can't be replaced permanently. But Congress workers shouldn't expect relief anytime soon. A hearing isn't scheduled until February 10th.
What was once one of the largest employee-owned steel companies in the United States may leave 10,000 retirees out in the cold. West Virginia's Wharton Steel filed for bankruptcy protection in May. This week it submitted a corporate reorganization plan. It calls for the layoff of 1,000 workers and the abandonment of the company's pension and insurance plans. The company is still negotiating the reorganization with the Independent Steelworkers Union and has until December 15th to finalize its proposal.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So what's up with the Vatican? What's up with the Catholic Church? I don't know. Do they want more people in heaven? Is that it? They want them to go as quickly as possible? Is that why they're advising people on four continents and primarily, let's face it, primarily in underdeveloped, if that's a PC word any longer, underdeveloped countries not to use condoms. Don't use condoms. Condoms are full of holes. If you use condoms, you're going to transmit AIDS anyway. This is a lie. Jesus is going to pound the living hell out of these people, too. You know, it's not just Pat Robertson that Jesus is going to kill and then revive and then kill and then revive. He's going to do the same thing to the Pope, Did you know that? Or some of these cardinals, some of these psychopaths who are telling people, don't use condoms, they're full of holes, because that's a lie. And the Ten Commandments, isn't there one commandment, Kathy, that says don't lie? Or bear false witness, right. Don't bear false witness. Okay. Scientific research by who? How big a list do you want? The U.S. National Institutes of Health, the Ministry of Health, whatever the hell it's called, World Health Organization, all of them have concluded, duh, Jesus, what was this, 15 years ago? Intact condoms are essentially impermeable to particles the size of STD pathogens, including the smallest sexually transmitted virus. Condoms provide a highly effective barrier to transmission of particles of similar size to those, yada, 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 small, yada, yada. The Vatican's Cardinal Trujillo said, they're wrong about that. They're wrong. And this is an easily recognizable fact. They lie. See, this is like Bush. This is like this anti-scientific criminal enterprise that is just cloaking this planet in desperation and stupidity, isn't it? Who in the hell is this Cardinal Trujillo? Cardinal Alfonso Lopez Trujillo. He's the president of the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. Council for the Family? You're a mass murderer. You're advocating mass death, you nutcase. So Cardinal Trujillo says, all this science is wrong. It's all wrong. We're right. Now, have you got any little boys I can play with? They're all wrong. Bring me the boys now. God, I hate these people. As you know, the Catholic, and if you're Catholic and you're getting pissed off at me now, then switch stations, okay? This is infuriating. You agree with it, shame on you. And if you agree with what the church says, shame on you.
The church opposes any kind of contraception because, you see, if you use contraception, you're breaking the link between sex and procreation, and that's what the baby Jesus wants you to do. Only have sex when you want a baby. Other times, well, now you can't masturbate. That's bad. You can't. What are you supposed to do? Well, nocturnal emissions. No, you got to stop that. Take a rubber band. Oh, wait. We do that to stop you from listening to the Malloy program. Take a shoelace and tie it off. You women always sleep on your backs.
In Kenya.
Where's that?
That's a country in Africa.
Oh, well, I'm just a cardinal. I don't know.
In Kenya, where an estimated 20% of people have the HIV virus, the church condemns condoms. The Archbishop of Nairobi, Raphael Ndingi Nziki, said,
AIDS has grown so fast because of the availability of condoms.
When Jesus gets his hands around your neck, Raphael, he's going to kill you, and then he's going to bring you back to life, and he's going to kill you again, and he's going to do that for maybe half of eternity. He's going to pinch off your head eventually, throw it into hell, where demons will use it as a soccer ball, Raphael. In Lawak, near Lake Victoria, the director of an AIDS testing center says he cannot distribute condoms because of church opposition. Gordon Wambi told BBC One Panorama program,
You know, here's the deal, man. Some priests have been saying that condoms are laced with HIV/AIDS virus.
The program found that the claims about permeable condoms has been repeated by Catholics, Catholic church leaders from Asia to Latin America. I hate religion. Mostly, I hate the Christian religion. Now, I don't hate Jesus. Oh, please stop. I think he was a brilliant, compassionate human being. The Catholic Church, the Vatican Council on the Family, telling ignorant people. Why are they ignorant, Mike? They're ignorant because they let these filthy priests tell them what to do. They are ignorant because they listen to this demonic BS coming from the Vatican. That's why they're ignorant. What does the Catholic Church want? Does it want millions of more deaths and orphans and widows and widowers in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America? Is that what the Catholic Church wants? Damn them! Yeah, and wearing that stupid hat on your head causes Parkinson's disease. How about that? That makes as much sense, doesn't it, Mr. Pope, as telling these people that AIDS are laced with the HIV virus? Mr. Pope, Jesus is going to pinch your head off, too, and cast it into hell where the demons will use it as a soccer ball. You think not? These are lies. These are lies that put people's lives at risk. These are lies that kill people. These are lies that make 15-year-olds get AIDS. These are lies that make babies be born already dead. Boy, it's a toss-up tonight. Which one I hate the worst, the Catholics or the Protestants? I don't know. On the one hand, you got this Pope. On the other hand, you got this psychopath. Pat Robertson. Which is worse? Let me see. I guess the Pope is worse. The Catholic Church is worse because Pat Robertson is just an English-speaking pissant that most people outside this country couldn't care less if he lives or dies. The Pope, on the other hand, speaks what, Kathy, 90 languages or something? Huh? Doesn't he? At least enough to deliver his homilies. Well, he used to be able to. Now he can't. All he can say is, I need breakfast. You know, that's it. I don't even know if he can say, can I go to the bathroom? But he can issue orders and directives telling people that condoms are loaded with the AIDS virus. Oh. So you're Catholic and you listen to this program and you're thinking, well, this son of a bitch has gone too far now. I'm gonna call his boss. Go ahead. I couldn't care less. This is mass murder. This is condemning people to death who are already condemned to death. Let's face it, we're all condemned to death. Gee, there's a revelation. But apparently the Catholic Church wants the most brutal, miserable, puking, bleeding, diarrhea-filled death possible. Don't use the condoms, Mr. and Mrs. Africa. Don't use the condoms, Mr. and Mrs. Thailand or China or India or wherever we have sent priests to convert you fools into this psychopathic religion. Don't use condoms because they're loaded with AIDS virus. Just continue to screw like little bunnies and die. Oh, no, no. Actually, we don't want you to have sex at all. Unless you want to make another baby. You want some more? What do you got, 12 babies? Oh, got to have more. Hell is still not quite filled up. Okay, I guess it's time to move on. Who can I piss off now? How about the Jews? What have the Jews done today? Can I go after the Jews? Huh? Got the Protestants, got the Catholics. How about the Jews? I don't understand why people give over their lives to these religious doctrines. I was watching something this morning on the History Channel about Guyana, Jonestown. Remember that? Jim Jones back in, when was that, 78? The mass suicide, 900 and some people who drank the poisonous drink. The killing of the representative from California and four of the other people with him who had gone to Guyana at the request of family members. I remember the shock and the horror when we first saw those pictures. Jesus, what was that, 25 years ago? It's hard to believe. But I remember thinking, how do people do this? How do people take their short, brief moment of consciousness? The midway point in eternity. Your consciousness is the midway point in eternity. You know that, don't you? Prior to your birth was half of eternity. After your death is the other half. Now figure that one out for a while. But this brief little flash, this little beam, just beep, that's your life. And you're going to give it over to Jim Jones or the Pope or Pat Robertson or who, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon? Oh, my God. Well, it's a free country, so... But you folks who do subscribe to the Protestant faith, maybe you could write to Pat Robertson and tell him to shut up. And you folks that subscribe to and stop threatening our precious State Department with nuclear bombs. And you people who subscribe to the Catholic faith, maybe you could write a letter to the Vatican and say, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to lie. Aren't you the church? Aren't you the spokesmen of God? Don't you represent Christ on earth? Aren't you God's angels and yada, 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 you freaks, you perverts? Why are you telling people that condoms are laced with AIDS virus? Well, I got to pick on the Jews for something. It wouldn't be fair to just do the Catholics and the Protestants. I'll think of something before the night's over. Oh, I'm sure. Mason is calling from Pittsburgh, PA. Mason, this your first time calling the program?
Certainly is. I've been listening to you since Chicagoland days.
Well, you picked an awful night. I'm just down on Catholics, and you're probably Catholic, right?
A recovering Catholic.
Right. Yeah.
If that's fair to say, I've had my final confessions, you know.
Yeah.
The earfuls I would give priests, you know, they were probably searching out little boys by the time I got done with them. So, but, you know, you forgot two religions tonight since you're ripping on everyone.
Yeah, who's that?
You forget about the Homo Episcopalians, right? Which I see, I just read an article somewhere today that the conservative Episcopalian archbishops or whatever are getting together, I think, next week to discuss splitting themselves.
Sure, sure. Yeah. We don't want the souls of queers saved.
Yeah,
well, no queers are allowed in heaven.
Nope, no fags in heaven.
Oh, my God. I hate it. See, I hate it. I hate organized religion. I spit on it. Pfft.
Well, the only thing more hypocritical than the Bush administration is organized religion.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, the Catholic doctrine, I did grow up a Catholic. It's just absolutely the most hypocritical swill, and I don't know how much experience you have personally with religion.
Oh,
but,
quite a bit.
it's just amazing. But you forgot one other religion that I just thought of. Remember our friends, the Hail Boppers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they are eternally living on the comet tail Hail Bop as it flew over, 20, 25 of them. I forget how they killed themselves, but I'm sure it was funny.
Poison. They all they ate, what was it, banana pudding or strawberry jello or something. They all dressed in brand new Nikes and track outfits and packed their little bags and then ate the poison pudding or jello. And I don't know, I guess they're riding the comet, or the comet was a sign from somebody in some star system that something was happening. What the hell? It's just, oh, man. Oh well, whatever.
But it's amazing. Well, you have a wonderful program, and keep up the truth.
Thanks, Mason. Thanks for checking in. I hope you call again. I do appreciate you calling. Yeah, the Hail Boppers. What was the name of that cult, Kathy? They had that funny-looking white-haired dude who looked like, I don't know, he looked like, every time I saw him, he reminded me of caricatures. Cartoon of a worm sticking its head the cartoon worm sticking its head out of an apple. I don't know why, but the guy always reminded me of that. Yeah, I think he had a name like Da, Ra, Ru, Mush, Mash. Yeah, maybe somebody can email to me the name of the Hail Boppers, the Big Bopper for the Hail Boppers. You know, the one that convinced them all to pack their bags, put on the new Nikes, and catch a ride on an asteroid or a comet, whatever the hell that thing was. It's a weird night. This is just, I don't know. I guess what happened was, right before the show, I turn on CNN, and I see these nine Democratic candidates sitting like the League of Crafty Guitarists. There they sit on the stage in a semicircle on stools with this fake news person, Judy Woodruff, and somebody else. I couldn't see who the other fake news person was. And this whole crowd of people. You know, what is up with this? When are these candidates, when is somebody like Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich or John Kerry going to say, screw this? Enough of these cattle calls, these meat shows that don't mean a damn thing. There's Gephardt up there.
Well, now, I think, you know, with a 60% tax rebate, if you take four from seven, and that leaves three, doesn't it? Well, of course, there you go. So with your three, then, if you engender the population indices from the latest Department of Agriculture report, you come up with a, you know, and you just want to reach to the television and say, here, here's your nuclear bomb. Boom!
When are these guys going to say, look, no more of this. You want something from me? Put a camera on me and get their asses out and go to the schools and go to the church. Well, not the church basements. That's, oh no, don't go there. Go to the schools, go to the meeting halls, go to the union halls, go wherever. Get 150, 200 people together and tell those people what you're about. And if they like what you're about, they'll tell another 100. And that 100 will tell another 100. Oh, I'm so sick of this. Time to move to where? I know. When's the next comet come through, Kathy?
Well, it's the land of the brave, home of the free. That's the funny thing about democracy. A vote for me.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Yikes. Okay, Alan sent it in. Katie sent it in. Who else sent it in? Angus sent it in. Joy K sent it in. Sabina, of course. Scott. D-cubed. Okay, that's enough. It was Heaven's Gate. And one of the names of the leader, the male leader, was Bo, and his lady friend was Peep. Remember that? And it wasn't they weren't going to ride on the comet. There was a spaceship behind the comet, right? Angus said they're not riding the comet. There was a spaceship hiding behind the comet. Katie says the leader's real name was Marshall Applewhite. Dear God, I bet he got his ass kicked in elementary school every time he showed up on the playground, didn't he?
Well, I'll get back at you. I'll form a cult. I'll get on a spaceship behind a comet.
Marshall Herplewhite or whatever the hell, Applewhite? Joy in Parma, Ohio. Applewhite was his last name. He went by Bo and his woman went by Peep. Weird stuff. Who else? Oh, Scott says, hey, it was Marshall Applewhite. A.K.A. Nutcase. Right. Heaven's Gate, Bina says. And finally here, D-cubed. Heaven's Gate. Yeah, what is the difference when you really get down to it? Now, I'm serious. I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm not trying to piss you off, you know. But what's the difference between the Heaven's Gate cult and Catholicism? What is the difference between Jim Jones and Pat Robertson? They all will tell you that you are doomed if you don't believe they believe. What is the difference between the Reverend Sun Myung Moon and Hindu priests in India or wherever who say, oh, let's go kill some Muslims? You know, what's the difference between an Ayatollah and who else? Quick, help me, Kathy. Some other religious psychopath. Ashcroft, there you go. Every one of these people, all of them, all the organizations and the people, they preach death. Death and destruction. And if you don't believe my way, not only is your life going to be miserable and your condom be full of holes, but your ass is going to burn somewhere forever. Not for 100 years. Eternity. Hear eternity this, sucker.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, pathetic. Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
Cruel.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The White House and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld moved quickly on Wednesday to contain an unusual public breach over Iraq policy, a day after he testily told European reporters that he was not consulted before a reorganization intended to give the White House more control over the occupation of Iraq. Appearing at a NATO conference in Colorado Springs, Rumsfeld tried to dismiss any talk of his diminished role in Iraq policy, but the tone contrasted with his harsh language on Tuesday when he said President Bush had never discussed with him the creation of the Iraq Stabilization Group set up by Condoleezza Rice. In the seeming criticism of the White House, he suggested that the National Security Council was finally focusing on doing what it should have been doing all along. A day after Arnold Schwarzenegger's recall victory, a dispute erupted between the governor-elect and the state's most powerful legislator over the tripling of California's car tax. Schwarzenegger told State Senate Leader John Burton, a Democrat from San Francisco, that he could single-handedly repeal the tax hike as soon as he took office. The senator disagreed. According to a Los Angeles Times poll of voters who cast ballots Tuesday, Schwarzenegger's base of support is heavily white, male, conservative, Republican, and Christian. By contrast, Schwarzenegger was relatively unpopular among blacks, Latinos, Asians, Democrats, liberals, and Jews. He ran weakest in San Francisco and the surrounding area, as well as parts of Los Angeles County. Unfortunately for Schwarzenegger, that's the turf of the liberal Democrats who dominate the legislature and set its agenda. As the House today takes up President Bush's $87 billion spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan, the debate over the bill is increasingly focused not just on the amount of money, but also who will get it. Of the $4 billion a month already being spent in Iraq, as much as a third is going to private contractors. As many as 1 in 10 Americans deployed in Iraq and Kuwait, perhaps 20,000, are contractors, a group larger than any of the military forces. The Iraqi gold rush has raised concerns on Capitol Hill that the administration may be losing control of the taxpayers' money. Members of Congress are worried that their oversight will diminish, cost controls will weaken, and decisions about security, training, and the shape of the new Iraqi government will be in the hands of people with financial stakes in the outcome. More news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
A British museum is facing a battle with the government over its plan to import a collection of handguns once owned by Elvis Presley. The museum wants to display the guns, but has to prove it is complying with Britain's tough firearm laws. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship.
all thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called hide the pay raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost-of-living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects, but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Well, for all the stations just joining the network now to pick up the last 2 hours of the program, you didn't get to hear me rip on the Catholic Church. That was awful. No, what they did was awful. All right, before we come to your phone calls, and we are coming, the phone number is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. I want you to hear something. I wanted to play this for you yesterday. I didn't have time. Russell Mokyber, who is one of the true journalists left in this sorry United States of America, at least certainly among the crack White House press corps. But I want you to hear Russell Mokyber here kind of tattoo on White House Press Secretary Scotty McClellan's forehead yesterday. This is kind of interesting. Now, this is about whether or not Karl Rove said to Chris Matthews that Joseph Wilson's wife was fair game, Valerie Plame was fair game. Everybody knows that Karl Rove said that to Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews has admitted it. Everybody knows it. But here's Russell Mokyber. Russell Mokyber, picture a large house cat, and then picture Scotty McClellan as a toy mouse. And Russell is just kind of batting him around the living room. Listen to this.
Why do you refuse to answer the question whether Carl Rove said that Joseph Wilson's wife is fair game?
I think we've been through this for now 2 days in a row. No, I did answer the question.
Say it.
I did answer the question.
Say it.
Again, I answered that question, and we've been through it for 2 days now, and so it's been addressed.
What was the answer?
I'm not going to go back through it again today because we've been through it for the last couple of days. So I've already addressed that issue.
I don't want to answer that.
Anybody else?
Oh, God. You know what's going to happen in the White House press room one day? This is going to happen. These reporters are going to get to the point where they can't take it anymore. And after about a half an hour of that, there's going to be some unspoken signal that passes through the room. And they all leap up, and four or five of them go to the right of the podium. That would be to the left as you're looking at it on television. And tackle the guards or whoever those people are. And hog time on the ground. Meanwhile, Scotty's up there going, wait a minute, what's going on? The rest of them, the other 20 or 30 of them, are going to swarm over the podium there. They're going to grab Scotty. They're going to strip him naked. And then they're going to eat him. And it's going to be awful. I mean, it will be the first time that a White House press secretary has been cannibalized in the history of the Republic. But they are. They're going to devour him. They're going to do just like, you remember the movie Suddenly last summer? Do you remember there when Cousin Sebastian, who was just just terrible to Elizabeth Taylor, kept buying her those bathing suits that when she got in the water it would become transparent and would attract the boys and the young men because Cousin Sebastian had an interest in the boys and the young men, to say the least. But at the very end, towards not the end of the movie, but as Elizabeth Taylor is playing this back for the psychologists, and she's remembering the scene where Cousin Sebastian and they were pounding on these instruments and they were clanking things and beating things and Sebastian kept running up the streets in the village trying to get away and they were swarming around him. If you remember that scene and they pulled Cousin Sebastian down and then this pile of boys and young men got on top of him and ate him. Do you remember that? You remember that scene Suddenly last summer? That's what's going to happen in the White House press room one of these days. Andy is calling from Seattle. Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
Oh, a little bit.
Well, you have been ripping on the Catholics tonight.
I know. I'm very, very close to the pit of hell right now.
I would rather be there with you than in heaven with Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Oh, man, they are wicked evil.
Mm.
Wicked evil. But, you know, don't put all Christians in that category because they're not all like that. There are some good ones. You know what I'm saying?
Well, people who are real followers of Christ, it would seem to me the first thing they would do would be to separate themselves from Christianity, whether it's Protestantism or Catholicism.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Get as far away from that as they possibly could. And then meditate and study on the words of Jesus and the way he lived his life and what his message was. No, I have no problem with that. None whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But about the election in California,
yeah.
Just gotta get in a dig on Arnold tonight. Okay, you know Bev Harris, White Box voting,
yes.
And all that.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of irregularities now that are showing up out of the California election.
Oh, they don't count. They don't matter. It's over. Arnie is the governor.
Yeah, I know. But it still bodes well for 2008 when we're forced to be using these, you know, damnable machines to vote on. When,
you mean 2004, don't you?
No, by 2008, the entire country has to be in compliance with the HAVA.
Oh, great.
But 2004, you know, well, if they've got California, Texas, and Florida, they've got the election locked up. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And those three states are already debolt, touch,
uh-huh.
no paper trail, voting machine. You know, they're all set on board. So, you know, with those three states, you know, Georgie's Bound to Win, and then 2008 we'll have Jebby.
Well, now, I haven't heard about the irregularities. When I said it's all over, I realize the vote hasn't been certified yet. But when I say it's all over, it's 32 seconds after the polls closed the other night.
Arnold was the winner.
Yeah, Arnold. Every network, they all fell in line. All of these whorish, filthy, disgusting networks from the over-the-air networks to the cable networks. Within 30, I think the winner, I think, was CBS. Were they the winner? In 23 seconds after the polls closed, they declared Schwarzenegger the winner. It's over. It's done. That's it. No debate. No discussion. Now, what irregularities are you talking about, Andy?
Well, apparently in Alameda County, the touchscreens were freezing up and not performing according to spec. And in the memos, I don't know if you've heard of the infamous memos, there were several emails that referred to this problem. There was also some emails. I believe there was a phone line attached to a voting machine in Alameda County as well. I think a voter there reported at the black box voting site that there was a phone line attached, which, would mean that they were sending out vote totals early.
Oh, my God.
Which is, a clear violation of California law.
Yeah.
And also, California law requires that the vote tallies be posted on the, somewhere at the polling site.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the election's done, they print the vote totals and put them up on the door so that we can audit. We as citizens can audit the votes to make sure that they were counted correctly. There's several instances where that has not occurred, and those are all counties that are on Diebold machines.
Wow.
So I'm not holding out much hope for 2004 at this point.
Now,
you've got an island to go to. I would suggest, making plans.
Right. Well, I'm still in advanced weapons training. I'm not ready to leave quite yet. You complete advanced weapons training, and you stick around just a little bit longer to see if your training is going to be needed. Then you leave.
Yeah, true.
Thanks, Andy.
Have a good night, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. Appreciate you checking in. Tracy is calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Enjoyed your treatise on the Catholic Church.
Well, I hate to bust up on anybody in particular. I just hate I hate all organized religion.
I understand.
It was just that, I read this article about these cardinals representing Rome saying that condoms have been laced with AIDS, and I just go bananas.
And you know what? This is the beauty of progressives like you and me, is that I'm deeply religious, but I totally respect what you're saying. So I wanted to sort of vent just for a couple of seconds about, I pretended, Mike, for several years that I was an independent.
Uh-huh.
And that feels good to say that, because you don't want to be tied to any party. But I realized that, basically, you're either a Democrat or you are, you can be an independent, but you're pretty much in this country either a Democrat or a Republican, but you just basically don't agree with the party that you align yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm so sick of so many people, and this stems from the recall, too. Independents are scared to just say that they agree more with one party or the other.
Right.
And it's just kind of annoying. It's starting to annoy me.
But isn't there some validity in a person who declares himself an independent? A validity in their point. Occasionally a Republican can say something that makes sense. Occasionally a Democrat can't. Right.
I agree. What? And which is for, it's Mike, for years, which is why for a period of like 5 or 6 years, I told myself that I was an independent because I thought that I could vote for a Republican, and there was no Republican that I could vote for.
Well, it's
none.
It's come to that now.
None.
Right. Now it's come to that.
No.
20, 25 years ago, you could find a Republican occasionally you could vote for.
Exactly.
But now they're all neo-Nazis.
No, they really are, and there may be a Republican, but I just sort of want to, I guess I'm calling to say, and I'm not trying to discourage people who say they are independents, but I have had to admit to myself that I am a Democrat/progressive. I don't agree with the party status all of the time, mm-hmm. but basically that is what I am. And my thing is, if you consider yourself an independent, but your overriding thing is taxes, then you're a Republican.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Sure.
And if there are other considerations, if you happen to have a lot of money and there are other things that and you can allow that, you can override what your personal financial situation is, then you're basically a Democrat or an independent. But I feel like I'm frustrated by people. I think people are hiding behind the independent label.
Yeah, you may be right. But on the other hand, in their defense, maybe it is so difficult. Like right now,
it is hard.
I wonder every night why I remain a Democrat.
I agree. Sure.
And I would no more become a Republican than I would open an artery.
But so you're a Democrat, Mike.
I am a Democrat, but I wonder why, because the Democratic Party has completely left me. I don't recognize the Democratic Party
anymore.
But
you're not. The point is, you're not a Republican, and if I don't know.
Well, you know, if there is a heaven, that's the only thing that's going to get me in, Tracy, the fact that I'm not a Republican.
You're good.
Thanks for checking in.
You bet.
All right, you have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called hide the pay raise. Here's how it's played.
Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost of living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Was that Jim Hightower there engaging in class warfare again? Huh? You know what is the height of ironic to me? There's so many heights of irony in what happened in California on Tuesday. But I think one that is the most costumed is Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Nazis and the use on this program of the term neo-Nazi for Republicans and that whole Jörg Haider thing from Austria. Yeah, we have Jörg Haider, who was not a Nazi, never said he was. You know, all of this, the Nazi connections between Karl Rove's family and the death camps, the Nazi connections between George Bush's family and the rise of Hitler, the financing of Hitler, the Nazi connections between Arnold and his father, who was an SS officer. I mean, God! Is it just me? Am I the only one going crazy? So now California has Arnold Schwarzenegger, and guess what? Bush. Bush and Arnie are getting together, according to the Republican swine who are clustering around Arnie. Scott McClellan said that Bush called movie star Arnold Schwarzenegger to congratulate him on winning the state's recall election. McClellan reported, the president said he was proud of the race he ran, and could he have Arnie's overflow? And he looked forward to working with him. Does Arnie really get all those girls? Oh, damn. Schwarzenegger said, he promised me he would do everything possible to help California. California. All right, you do it. You do it. He promised me he would do everything possible to help California.
He promised me he would do everything possible to deliver California.
You ought to see what your mouth looks like when you do that. No.
Talk to the hand.
I know. Wednesday evening, last night, Bush celebrated Schwarzenegger's win at a Washington gala raising money for the Republican National Committee. You want to hear what he said? Yeah, he was at this... I liked his first comment here. Hell, I don't think we even have the first comment. Do we have the first one? Well, let me see. No, I guess we don't. But his first comment was, there's a lot of happy folks here tonight. I see some happy Cubs fans and I see some happy Boston fans. Oh, there's some happy people from California here too. White House officials say Bush will meet with Schwarzenegger next week in California. During that little speech before the Republican National Committee, the presidential gala in D.C., presidential gala? Who uses that word? Do you use that word, Gabby? You never tell me we're going to a gala. You say we're going to a fundraiser, a party, or a Kmart? Gala. All right. No time to do it now? You know, you keep talking to my headphones. You ought to just open your mic so people can hear what you have to say. Now when you say we don't have time, but...
I said we're liberals. We don't have galas to attend. We go to Kroger. We go to Target. Sometimes we splurge and go to the cheap Mexican restaurant.
Is it time for a commercial yet?
Hold on.
It's almost time for another commercial. Oh, that's good. God, tonight I just love commercials. I swear to God. I don't know. I've got combat fatigue, I guess. I haven't had this since I was in a rifle company in World War I. Have I felt this kind of combat fatigue? Oh, well, we'll be right back.
You'll never bomb this place. We hail, hail, right in Hickory's space. Army's not the Superman. Aryan pure Superman.
Yeah, be yes, sir, Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order. Heil Hitler's world new order.
Everyone of foreign race will love the Fuhrer's face when we bring to the world disorder.
When the Fuhrer says he is the master race, we heil, heil, right in the Fuhrer's face. Not to love the Fuhrer is a great disgrace, so we heil, heil, right in the Fuhrer's face.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Leaving nature alone might not be enough to preserve it. An author argues for a more hands-on approach. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Preservation of nature has long been understood to mean simply leaving it alone, but that approach is doomed to fail, according to William Jordan III.
You don't have a choice in this matter. The survival and well-being and condition of these so-called natural communities ultimately depends on restoration.
Jordan, the author of a new book about restoration ecology called The Sunflower Forest, says ecosystems are influenced by everything around them. For example, forests and prairies change profoundly when we deprive them of natural fire, and invasive species constantly find their way into many natural areas, tipping their ecological balance. Jordan says we can no longer just sit back because, like it or not, we already affect almost every natural system.
No matter how hard you try not to influence nature, you do influence nature. And so to be told that the best thing you can do for the planet is basically to get off of it is really dispiriting advice. And I would call it a council of despair. And I think one of the great things about restoration is it says, come back into the garden. You're needed there.
Jordan says we need to work continually to restore and maintain natural systems. He says this work should be based on science, but it can be done by anyone who wants to work in the landscape.
It gives us a place in the landscape, and it gives us a sort of citizenship on the planet. And this is very good news to people. I mean, it addresses, I think, some of their deepest concerns that environmentalism has been saying, you don't belong here.
Jordan argues that humans do belong in the landscape and can be a positive force in restoring its ecological balance. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We'll be right back.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Okay. 27 before the hour. Bush at the Republican National Committee presidential gala. Or is it gala? How do you say it, Kathy? Gala?
I don't know. We don't attend those events.
That's right. Now, this is the Bush tour, Bush Unplugged. This is his tour to tout his war in Iraq. And once again here, he links Iraq to September 11th. Notice here he gives no rationale for the preemptive strike for which he's being criticized. But listen again. I don't know how anybody makes the connection between Saddam and 9-1-1.
One of the important lessons of September the 11th, 2001, is that our country must deal with gathering threats before they materialize, before they come back to haunt us. And that's what we did in Iraq. We saw a gathering threat. A man who had possessed and used weapons of mass destruction on his own people.
Past tense?
A man who sponsored terror.
Past tense?
A man who was a danger in the region in which he lived. The world spoke. He chose defiance. And Saddam Hussein is no more.
You jackass. You jackass. The world spoke and told you to stay the hell out of Iraq. Yeah. Oh, my God. But that's all right, because he's talking to Republicans. He is talking to the stupidest biped ever. Are there other bipeds besides us, Kathy? I guess not, huh? Not strictly speaking. All right, the stupidest mammals, is that cool? Yeah, he's speaking to a group of the stupidest mammals ever that ever evolved or were created out of Adam's gut. One, whichever, I don't care how you go with that. Republicans. So he can say things like that and get away with it. On the evidence that David Kaye has found in Iraq, the evidence. You know, the evidence David Kaye found, there's no there. There's nothing. But listen to the cautious language.
Our investigators have found evidence of clandestine network of biological laboratories, the advanced design work on prohibited long-range missiles.
Design work?
Elaborate campaign to hide these illegal programs.
A campaign?
There's a lot more to investigate.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yet it is now undeniable.
Say it again.
Undeniable. That Saddam Hussein was in clear violation of United Nations Security Council Resolution 1441.
What did that say, George?
It is undeniable that Saddam Hussein was a deceiver and a danger.
We'll invade his country.
The Security Council was right to demand that Saddam disarm, and America was right to enforce that demand.
I hate these people. I hate them. The Security Council was right to demand that Saddam disarm. Yeah, they did that 12 years ago, you moron. And he did. Your own inspectors are telling you that. And America was right to enforce the demand? What are you talking? Oh, that's right. That's right. You are talking to Republicans.
Our investigators have found evidence of a clandestine network of biological
evidence? Advanced design work? Is that what? There was a drafting table? Little green eye shade laying there, little gooseneck lamp. Is that what you're talking about? Design work? No, you lying bastard. You told us he had nuclear weapons. You told us he had gallons, oceans of poisonous the biological agents. You told us he had stacks of canisters of VX and sarin and all kinds of stuff. You lying bastard. You liar. You liar. Design work? Design work? Advanced design work? Evidence of a clandestine network of biolaboratory? What are you talking about? Oh, that's right. The two trucks. Oh, my God.
And he just stands there. And why did we impeach Bill Clinton? Oh, that's right. He lied about consensual partway there sex with his almost maybe girlfriend. I will never forget that degenerate Henry Hyde standing in the well of the Senate as the House managers made their pitch to convict Bill Clinton. Henry Hyde invoking Normandy, for Christ's sake! The invasion of Europe! The Wehrmacht! The Jefferson! What else did that smarmy homewrecker Henry Hyde talk? And they impeached him. They didn't convict him, but they did impeach him. And George Bush stands there in front of this herd of sheep, these Republican swine, and tells these lies, lie after lie after lie. And they sit there with little paws up in the air until they applaud, and then their paws go back up in the air. And, you know, we watched on C-SPAN when the speech was over. Kathy taped it. We watched. We watched him go along the rope line, or whatever the hell you call it, and the four Secret Service agents going with him. This is in front of the Republican National Committee members and those four Secret Service men. And as you watch their eyes, they're looking down just about waist level, watching all the hands that are coming up to shake George Bush's claw. And these Secret Service agents are watching everyone because they know. Yeah, they know. But there they were, the terminally brain dead, sucking every word George Bush said right into their gullets. And he stands there and lies and lies and lies, trying to rationalize why he preemptively struck a nation that had never attacked us, that had no weapons, that was on the verge of starvation, that was a bulwark against Islamic fundamentalism in that part of the world, who was run by a filthy dictator? Yeah, yeah! Just like most of the people that the Bush crime family hang out with on the global stage. He used to claim it was because Iraq had weapons of mass destruction that could kill our allies, and wanted nukes that would bring a mushroom cloud to America. 90% of congressmen who approved the Iraq war stated that Iraq's nukes were their number one concern. Do you remember this, America? Jesus Christ, forget Kobe Bryant, forget Arnold Schwarzenegger. This pig lied us into war. Does it mean anything?
I acted because I was not about to leave the security of the American people in the hands of a madman.
Then resign!
I was not about to stand by and wait and trust in the sanity and restraint of Saddam Hussein. So our coalition acted.
I don't know. Either I'm going mad, or you are, or the rest of the country is, or Bush is, or the Democrats have, or the Republicans are the spawn of Satan. What the hell is going on? This man lied us into a war. He lied us into a war. Two of them. But especially Iraq. Oh, my God. I got up this morning. And like I do every morning, I took my blood pressure. That's what my doctor said to do. 116 over 68. That's not bad. Went downstairs. Kathy was busy, so I walked up to the end of the driveway and got the newspapers, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, New York Times. Normally she does that because she gets up before I do. She's younger than I am. She bounces back quicker than I do. Got the newspapers, brought them in the house, poured a cup of coffee. Took about two or three sips. Went into the study and turned on television. CNN. Just curious. Because, it's 10:30 in the morning.
Just want to see, are we all dead yet? Has there been another attack? What's going on? Just very quick, just give it to me as quickly as you can. Turn on CNN. Kobe Bryant. Switch to MSNBC. Kobe Bryant. CNN Headline News. Kobe Bryant. And I hope the building doesn't collapse when I say this. Fox News. Kobe Bryant. So I flip back to CNN. Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then I turned it off. Went back upstairs, sat down on the bed, took my blood pressure again. 138 over 89. 15 minutes. The man lied us into war, America.
Oh, listen to Malloy. He thinks he's talking to America.
Okay, to the 26 people listening to this program tonight, George Bush lied us into war. He continues to lie. Why is he still in office? Is there not one single Democrat in the House who will introduce a bill of impeachment? It just to get it on the record, is there not one? Now, no one's arguing that Saddam was not a bad dude. That's not the point. Kim Jong-il is a terrible, evil dictator who's brutalized his people. But we don't preemptively attack North Korea. Ariel Sharon is a mass murderer, but we don't preemptively attack Israel. The point is, too stupid to be president's administration made the case for preemptive war on the lies that Iraq had these weapons and we're about to use them. Now keep that in mind when you hear this last clip. Bush's speechwriters carefully switch from the bogus reasons for attacking to the straw man argument of, aren't we all better off now, huh? Now that we have killed 10,000 Iraqis, now that we have sacrificed 325 young Americans, oh, and the blood's going to continue to flow. We need more blood. We need lots of blood. We need tons of blood. We need more blood. You know, the sands of Iraq are very absorbent. We need blood, 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 blood. But aren't we all better off now?
Who can possibly think that the world would be better off with Saddam Hussein still in power? Surely not the dissidents who would be in his prisons or end up in mass graves.
I hate you.
Surely not the men and women who would fill Saddam's torture chambers.
I hate the clothes you wear.
There's only one decent and humane reaction to the fall of Saddam Hussein.
I hate your dog.
Good riddance.
Yeah, George. You psychopath. You bloody psychopath. I'll tell you, history's going to get you, George. No, but nobody else will. Nobody is going to get you. You're the president of the United States, and that's really impressive. But history is going to nail your ass to the wall. History is going to get you, George. You violated every single precept that this country stood on for 220 years. You're a liar. You're a cheat. You're a sneak. You're a coward. You have sent people to their deaths. You have ordered people dead through your shock and awe and your bombings and your lies and your deceits. You are a war criminal, George W. Bush. And history is going to get you. History is going to get you. That's the only hope. And that's not even for sure. That's not even a certainty that history will get this punk. Because if these neo-Nazis do accomplish what they are trying to do in this country, the history books will never reflect the truth. Not now, not 20 years from now, not 500 years from now. He's a war criminal. He's a liar. He took us into, he attacked another country. He killed our people. He killed their people for no valid reason whatsoever. And we impeached Bill Clinton because he lied about oral sex. Oh, my God. Candy is calling from Santa Fe. Candy, welcome to the program.
Yes, Michael. I think most people in this country are clearly in a state of denial, whether it be the apathetic masses that just don't pay attention or the Republicans that have been force-fed and voluntarily swallowed this garbage. But I would like to turn the subject to what's going on here in New Mexico, which is sort of an interesting thing. We've got a modern pit facility that the administration has quietly been plotting to build, which will make the innards of up to 450 nuclear bombs, plutonium pits, a year.
Yeah.
Two of the five locations being here in New Mexico.
Well, we've got to have usable nukes.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And so it's a sort of a continuation. My question is, where do we direct our efforts at this juncture? I look at these candidates, and the one that I like the most doesn't appear to have a prayer.
Right.
And I just wonder, I actually went and worked the elections. I've never done that before in my life. I saw how pathetic the special election was that was handled here. And I just feel like, what can I do to be productive so that my blood pressure is counteracted by my activity?
All right, let me put you on hold. We got a break. Give me a minute here to think about that, and I'll try to give you an answer. I really will. I'll put you on hold and come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The time of your life can't be had for a song. Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Would you betray your soul? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Don't let your weakness show.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lance, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My lance is wonderful, wet, drenching sensation,
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aw.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GL report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun. Spin me around again.
Iran!
Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is. IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
No, nothing was delivered. I can't say I sympathize with what you're...
Five before the hour. You see how there's... See the lies there? All the man does is lie. And we impeach Bill Clinton because he lied about the possibility of maybe oral sex. Oh, well. All right, Candy, I've been thinking about it. Where do we direct our energy? What do we do? I don't... Look, we had a liberal, a Bustamante, running to replace Gray Davis, and we had a woman abusing, a serial abuser, Nazi admirer up against the liberal. The Nazi admirer, serial abuser, movie star, won.
I know, isn't that amazing?
What does that... What does that tell you? Here's the answer. Where do we direct our energy? Renew your passport. Get ready to leave the country. I don't know what else to say. I don't... Look, I've got family here. I've got kids. I've got grandkids. My mother's still alive. Kathy has family. Look, liberalism had it shot in California. Liberalism has who speaks for the liberals? Dennis Kucinich. That's it. That's it. Now, I have no bone to pick with Howard Dean or Wesley Clark or John Kerry, but there is one candidate who speaks strictly to the liberal mindset, and that's Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no question about that. And my problem with Dean is his expenditures, you know, his wartime expenditures, or his defense budget, rather. I thought it was particularly interesting to look at the way in which Arnold Schwarzenegger grabbed the wrist of Maria Shriver in his acceptance speech. I mean, it was like, as a woman, if any man pulled my arm up like that, she was somewhat out of body range. I just thought that picture spoke a thousand words.
I know. Well,
it was just totally unbelievable. But, the thing is that the cortisol levels that we all reach when we listen to the news these days. It increases. And women that are pregnant with babies in utero, they have discovered that the reptilian part of the brain becomes larger relative to the more modern brain, which means that we are literally and have been in the last few generations developing children who are more violently inclined and who have ADD as a result of the fact that their mothers are stressed out.
Isn't that
interesting? And, of course, when you use these fear tactics that the administration is using to rally the ever-growing number of reptilian-laden brains, you've got a lot of people that just don't respond to more subtle things.
I hear you. Candy, we're flat out of time. Here comes the train. Thank you so much. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A day after Arnold Schwarzenegger's recall victory, a dispute erupted between the governor-elect and the state's most powerful legislator over the tripling of California's car tax. Schwarzenegger told State Senate Leader John Burton, a Democrat from San Francisco, that he could single-handedly repeal the tax hike as soon as he took office. The senator disagreed. According to a Los Angeles Times poll of voters who cast ballots Tuesday, Schwarzenegger's base of support is heavily white, male, conservative, Republican, and Christian. By contrast, Schwarzenegger was relatively unpopular among blacks, Latinos, Asians, Democrats, liberals, and Jews. He ran weakest in San Francisco and the surrounding area, as well as parts of Los Angeles County. Unfortunately for Schwarzenegger, that's the turf of the liberal Democrats who dominate the legislature and set its agenda. The White House and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld moved quickly on Wednesday to contain an unusual public breach over Iraq policy. A day after he testily told European reporters that he was not consulted before a reorganization intended to give the White House more control over the occupation of Iraq. Appearing at a NATO conference in Colorado Springs, Rumsfeld tried to dismiss any talk of his diminished role in Iraq policy, but the tone contrasted with his harsh language on Tuesday when he said President Bush had never discussed with him the creation of the Iraq Stabilization Group set up by Condoleezza Rice. In the seeming criticism of the White House, he suggested that the National Security Council was finally focusing on doing what it should have been doing all along. Next week, the familiar mustachioed face of Saddam Hussein will begin to disappear from the Iraqi dinar following the issue of new banknotes by the occupation authority. Last week, teachers were told to encourage students to rip the once obligatory photo of Saddam from their textbooks. Another assault on Saddam's legacy is underway in the Republican Palace, where the occupation authority is making preparations to shut down the food distribution system, which gave free rations of flour, rice, cooking oil, and other staples to every Iraqi. Described by the UN as the world's most efficient food network, the system still keeps Iraqis from going hungry. But the U.S. Civilian Administrator of Iraq, Paul Bremer, views it as a dangerous socialist anachronism. The Coalition Provisional Authority is planning to abolish it in January, despite warnings from its own technical experts that this could lead to hunger and riots.
More news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A man is recovering in a Vancouver hospital after his attempt to steal a roll of wire ended up giving him a 27,000-volt electrical shock. He was found Monday wandering without his shoes, which were blown off when he tried to disconnect the wire from a running generator. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called hide the pay raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost-of-living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects, but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Candy in Santa Fe, I'm sorry I had to get off the phone so abruptly there, but what happens when we go into that top of the hour break, it's like an 8 minute long break, and I hate to hold people over that for that long of a period of time, but I do appreciate you checking in, Candy, and the things you had to say. We had an there was an article tangential to what Candy said. There was an article, was that in the Atlanta paper, Kathy? An article here this week, one day this week, about putting kids in front of televisions. Now, we all know that this is bad stuff. We've had, 20, 30 years of research on this now. But new research out, parents who use the television as a babysitter or a pacifier or even conscientious parents who allow their kids to watch television are making a horrendous, nearly irreversible mistake. Open your mic.
Even if they are just watching educational shows,
yeah,
like Sesame Street.
I don't care what it is, right? What did the research say?
It was really fascinating. It said that parents who think that this is somehow making their children more manageable and less demanding, that it's having the exact opposite effect because it's teaching young children that they have to look outside for entertainment. And so as soon as the program's over, as soon as the cartoon's over, they're dumbfounded and they look around and they say, well, now do something to entertain me. And they become very demanding to their parents for their attention rather than children of, say, 100 years ago.
No, not 100. Had to
50 years ago, who had to find their own entertainment.
Right.
And they weren't as demanding. And the article was really fascinating because it made the point that how did Victorian families, how did other families that had 8 or 9 children, how did they manage? And it's because those kids had to go entertain themselves.
Right, and all of us see, possibly all of us have this in our families, children or grandchildren who are so utterly and absolutely demanding. Now, a lot of people say, well, it's a terrible twos, Mike. It's always been there. I'm not necessarily talking about that, but the utter demands that are put on parents by kids, a constant stimulation. Don't forget that television, and it matters not what sort of television, just television. Video games do the same thing. But, this instant resolution, instant gratification. I hate that term, but I can't think of a better one. To me, the better term is instant resolution. Everything is resolved very quickly. Demands are resolved. Desires are resolved. The thoughts are resolved. And as a result, the kid gets conditioned to that, and when he or she is not watching television, it's attack mommy. In some instances, attack daddy. Entertain me. Be like television. So what Candy was talking about, the reptilian part of the brain that is overstimulated in the mother, that releases all of these fight or flight hormones when the mother is pregnant. And the result of that is a child that is born that is just like, from day one. And then take that kid and put it in front of television. Jesus. Now we understand why the majority of people in California who are Democrats voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's so clear. By the way, before I come back to your calls, are you following this? You're not going to get this in the American press, but the Australian press, the Australian Broadcasting Company, they have a morning radio show there called AM. And they've been presenting. I'll put the link at my website when the program's over tonight. But they've been presenting even more evidence. Who sent me this? Tom in Ann Arbor sent this to me. The Australian Broadcasting Company morning show AM is providing more and more evidence that possibly U.S. Army chaplain Captain James Lee, also known as Yusef Yee, one of the first guy busted at Guantanamo, may have been a whistleblower. According to the story, it's been reported that the so-called enemy combatants at Gitmo are being tortured in ways that Australian attorney Richard Burke refers to as meeting, quote, the medieval definition of the phrase. The medieval definition of the phrase, torture. And, the attorney says, quote, as people would have understood it in the Dark Ages, end quote. Is there truth to this? Are our people, or have we imported what? Pakistanis, ISI members, Jordanian secret police, Iraqi secret police, who is torturing the prisoners in Guantanamo. This country is headed for an ethical train wreck, Truth Seeker. We are going there at 100 miles an hour. The stuff that is being done in the name of America by the Bush crime family is an outrage. It's a moral outrage. It's an ethical outrage. And God help us if such a thing as justice or karma exists. Because it's being done in our names. This Australian attorney who's representing two Australian citizens who are being held in Cuba also believes that one of his clients is on the fast track to the military tribunals. Most importantly, with respect to the chaplain, Lee, the attorney, Burke claims that U.S. military personnel have leaked such reports of torture because our guys down there can't stand it anymore. They know what's going on. They are giving the information. Jesus, get me out of Guantanamo. Do you know what we're doing to these people? The attorney claims that U.S. military personnel have leaked the reports of torture. The evidence appears to be mounting that Captain Lee is yet another victim of this emerging neo-fascist state where you and I live. If you're listening to me and you live in America, we are there, Truth Seeker. We are there. Do you understand? Suspension of due process, suspension of habeas corpus, and any number of other constitutional protections under Patriot Act 1 and military law, that's where we are. It just had, the whip has not come down on your back yet, or mine. Now, these reports of stress and duress and torture means that Guantanamo is becoming the American gulag. Stalin, Brezhnev, Khrushchev, what do these people have over George Bush? Nothing. As Tom in Ann Arbor writes, finally, since reading this Australian press report, I can't stop getting a vision of G.W. Bush and Joe Stalin doing a song and dance duet of "Whatever you can do, I can do better." Da 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 da. Out of my head. Torture. Now, Rumsfeld and some of these other swine who control the mechanisms of military justice in this country have made it known that we are killing people whom we suspect. No, does not need evidence, does not need a presentation of facts. Just, if we suspect them, we will kill them. And the ones we capture and put in that hellacious hellhole of a prison in Afghanistan to get these sheep herders and rock farmers to talk, we bring in professional torturers. We're going to pay for this. Mark my words. We're going to pay for this the same way Hitler paid for it, the same way Mussolini paid for it, the same way Tojo paid for it, the same way any tyrannical, fascist, or totalitarian government eventually pays. We're going to pay. The price is going to be horrendous. And if you and I don't pay, then our children are going to pay. And if our children don't pay, our grandbabies are going to pay. Do you understand that? Do you understand what is being set up here? Am I being too dramatic? Huh? Is this just Malloy melodrama? Is that what it is? Okay, you know, if somebody wants to present that case, I'll... You know, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. Maybe the Italian anarchist attitude that somewhere is still in my genetic structure has got to calm down. Maybe it's not true. Maybe Schwarzenegger's going to be a great governor. Maybe Jeb Bush is a great governor. Maybe George Bush really did win the recount. Maybe we were justified in shock and awe and slaughtering 10,000 Iraqi civilians. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's all true. I when I think about these things, which I do the better part of every day, like you, because I read your emails. I don't respond to all the emails. I can't. There's just too many of them. But by God, I read every one of them. And you people are suffering the same thing I'm suffering. You don't know what the hell is real anymore. And you're starting to think like we are starting to think the same thing. That maybe, well, Jesus, are we wrong? Is there something here that we're missing? I mean, if the state of California, for Christ's sake, the incubator of liberalism, after Madison, Wisconsin, the state of California goes for an avowed Hitler lover and serial sexual predator. Oh my God! And up against a Latino liberal, and they vote for the Austrian Nazi. California. I get emails that say, well, Mike, you know, things aren't that bad. Look, yeah, yada, yada, yada. And then there's yada, yada. And over here, there's yada, yada, yada. And I read those emails and I think, yeah, okay, please be right. What you're writing, let it be true. Just for 5 minutes. Just give me a break. Just for 5 minutes. Let me see. You know, write to me. Point me in the right direction. Tell me where I can see something that would say, look, you know, things, you're very melodramatic, Malloy, but, you know, it's not like that. I'll accept the link. I would love to read it. I mean, you know, whatever you can come up with. All right, your phone calls when we come back. I know, I'm tired of hearing me talk too. Phone calls when we come back. Stay with us.
Twirling two pistols remarkably well. When it was over, there's nothing left standing, nothing moving, nothing to say. They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffy nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling spry, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
The Mike Malloy Show.
Now, in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Half behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carly.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Just let me share this email with you, and then right back to your calls. This is Lynn from Buffalo. Lynn, you misunderstood. The subject line says, Dennis Kucinich is the only one who speaks to the liberals. No, I didn't say that. I said Dennis Kucinich is the only liberal. Now, I define liberal by my own definition, which is working class, blue collar, Midwest, that's me, liberal. Strictly working class, strictly blue collar. So maybe you just misunderstood, Lynn, but I didn't say Dennis Kucinich is the only one who speaks to the liberals. I said he is the only liberal. Now, Lynn goes on to say, not hardly. Dennis Kucinich does not have a chance. And unless your audience is ready to curl up and die and let the Republicrats take over the White House in 2004, they'd better jump on board with the only other anti-war candidate who does have a chance, which is Howard Dean. Lynn writes, I've invested about 500 hours and $500 in pushing Dean forward and going to every anti-Bush, anti-Ashcroft rally in town, and out of town. What else am I supposed to do? Tell me. As for Dean funding a war, no friggin' chance. Has anyone spent enough time to know that his brother was killed in Laos in 1967? He has been really pissed since then. This guy is going to smash Bush's face to the ground. She means that figuratively. Us Dean supporters... we'll do it alone. If all the Kucinich supporters want is to sit in the corner and cry. I'm going to fight to get that bastard Bush out of the White House. And I'm counting on Dean to do whatever he has to do, even if he has to lie. Bush is playing dirty, and so will Dean. And Kucinich supporters don't want to sit in the corner and cry, Lynn. The Kucinich supporters would like to see Dennis Kucinich be the next president of the United States. Short of that, I'm willing to, you know, I've said before, Howard Dean is right up there in my two or three choices. I'm a political realist enough to know that the long odds are stacked against Kucinich. But I'll tell you something, Lynn. All of a sudden, they're also stacked against Dean. Once Wesley Clark got into the race, all of a sudden, all bets are off. Now, that's a damn shame. I have nothing particularly at this point against Wesley Clark that I want to get into because I want to get to your phone calls here. But no, I did not say that Kucinich is the only one who speaks to the liberals. What I said was Kucinich is the only liberal in the race. And that doesn't cast anything negative on Dean. I respect what Dean's got to say. A lot of what Kerry says, I respect. A lot of what Clark says. Now, somebody's going to email me and say, you know, what about Al Sharpton? He's a liberal. Al Sharpton, I'm sorry. He makes a lot of sense. He says a lot of good stuff. But I can't get past the Tawana Brawley thing. From how long has it been now, Kathy? 20 years? I just can't get past it. Okay? I'm sorry. Can't. All right. Don is calling from Pontiac, Michigan. Hey, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How about you, sir?
Well, I watched the joint press conference tonight.
Wasn't that
part of the debate?
Wasn't that horrible?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I really want to kick myself in the rear end because I missed the first half hour of your program just so I could listen to it, and it was a wasted half an hour.
Guess what? I have to put you on hold.
Okay.
All right, I'll come right back to you, though. This is a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 10,000 grocery store workers in the St. Louis metropolitan area are walking picket lines this week. United Food and Commercial Workers Local 655 voted by a more than 2-to-1 margin Monday to reject a contract offer and authorize a strike at nearly 100 St. Louis stores owned by three chains. Immediately after the vote, two of the chains locked out their workers. Meanwhile, seven UFCW locals in Southern California, representing 70,000 grocery workers at more than 850 stores, hold strike votes today and tomorrow. A walkout there could happen as early as Saturday.
After nearly 4 months spent walking picket lines, finally some good news for 130 striking workers at Chicago's Congress Plaza Hotel. The National Labor Relations Board filed a complaint this week against hotel managers, charging they illegally cut employee wages and failed to bargain in good faith. Last June, Congress hotel managers broke from a citywide labor agreement and unilaterally slashed employee compensation, cutting wages by 7% and effectively eliminating health coverage. If the Labor Relations Board finds in the union's favor, their walkout will be declared an unfair labor practices strike, meaning workers can't be replaced permanently. But Congress workers shouldn't expect relief anytime soon. A hearing isn't scheduled until February 10th.
What was once one of the largest employee-owned steel companies in the United States may leave 10,000 retirees out in the cold. West Virginia's Wharton Steel filed for bankruptcy protection in May. This week it submitted a corporate reorganization plan. It calls for the layoff of 1,000 workers and the abandonment of the company's pension and insurance plans. The company is still negotiating the reorganization with the Independent Steelworkers Union and has until December 15th to finalize its proposal.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. We're talking with Don in Pontiac, Michigan, who's been holding on for almost 2 hours. Don, thanks for your patience. I do apologize.
Okay. I never miss your show. As a matter of fact, I have to stay up late now because ever since I started listening to you, I have to tape the TV programs and watch them after your show's over.
Are you aware of WhiteRoseSociety.org?
No, I'm not.
Okay. That's a website that was set up by our Elgin, Illinois bureau chief and a good friend. And you just go to WhiteRoseSociety.org, and what Ben has done, he archives every one of our programs for 3 weeks. So, and you know, as one adds, one drops off. He does, 3 weeks of programming. So, in other words, tomorrow afternoon, say, you could hear tonight's show just by going to that website and downloading it and listening to it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So you can listen any time of the day or night. You won't hear it live unless you tune in like this.
Right.
WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Gosh, I'm going to have to...
Yeah, check it out.
I'll check that one out.
Okay.
A couple times I have missed you, and it really messes up my whole psyche.
Well, it's always there. 3 weeks of programs. As one show drops off, another one adds on. It's a great site. Ben is a listener. He's also one of our bureau chief, and he does this for free. Occasionally he'll make a little request for money to pay for the bandwidth, but it doesn't cost you anything. You just go download it. It's free. Now, the reason you called was about these Democratic debates tonight, so-called.
Yes, and I have to admit I'm in the Anybody But Bush Club.
Right.
But the only candidate that made any sense doesn't have a chance of winning the nomination, and that's Dennis.
Yeah, I didn't see it tonight, but
and he's the only one who was willing to basically, say, "Hey, this is it. Call it as it is. Call Bush the lying bastard that he is."
Well, Howard Dean doesn't mince words. What did Dean say?
Well, but Dean, I'm probably. I'll vote for any of them who get the nomination. I mean, but Dean doesn't impress me.
Really?
I happen to be gay, and most of my gay friends are all for Dean because of the Vermont civil unions, and I think that was personally a Jim Crow cop out.
Hmm.
So I have a problem with Dean on other issues.
Okay,
on that one.
Fair enough.
But when the caucuses happen here in Michigan, I'll probably end up voting for Dean, even though my heart belongs to Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two things in watching this tonight that reaffirmed the views I already had was I want Dennis, but he can't win, and I don't want Lieberman.
Yeah.
But anybody, when you were talking to the person earlier tonight saying, why are you a Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
I am a Democrat in the sense that I always vote for the Democrat.
Right.
I couldn't imagine myself ever voting for a Republican, but it's not so much I am a Democrat, it's I'm not a Republican.
Yeah, I hear that, sure.
So, but there was one other thing, though. The yesterday, the whole bit about Condoleezza Rice getting the going to be the point person on Iraq now.
Yeah.
I have a 22-year-old son who is remarkable, very intelligent, especially on the political thing. He was telling me a year ago that this guy, this general, was going to be the Democrat nominee, Clark. He's been, and his contention is that Rice was given that specifically so that we can have a phony health problem with the vice president during the Christmas holidays, and that she can be appointed vice president after Cheney resigned for reasons of health.
I would put nothing and, past this crime family.
And then today, when they said that the only amendment that has so far passed in this $87 billion is an amendment that says that the person who administers it has to be someone who has been confirmed, so that she actually can't administer it, the money, if this amendment goes through. And it's the only amendment that was passed. And my son comes in and says, well, see, that's some of the Republicans that don't want Condi Rice to be they went with the Democrats in that because there's Republicans who don't want Condi Rice to be vice president.
Well, Republicans hate women, and they also hate people of color.
Well, by proof of the fact that they voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Well, there you go. But, you know, even the presence of Condoleezza Rice in Bush's cabinet drives most of these white male neo-fascist Republicans just right out of their skin. They just want to break things and claw the furniture and rip down the draperies because, you know, to them, women are either virgins or whores, A. B. The darkies don't belong running the United States. That's how Republican white males think. So you're absolutely right. If there's an attempt to advance Condoleezza Rice into further up into the executive branch, there will be an attempt to do anything to stop her because she's a female and she is a person of color.
What do you think of the idea that might be in play?
I don't doubt it. If somebody told me that they've asked Tony Blair to get American citizenship so he can be Secretary of Treasury, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt anything they do, Don. Anything. These people are manipulative. They are treacherous. They are devious. They are sneaky, and they're liars. Anything. Nothing would surprise me. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Nothing. Nothing. Wayne is calling from Seattle. Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
All right.
Good.
Hey, I heard you getting all upset about all the lying.
Yeah.
And I appreciate how you feel, but maybe I'm just numb, but haven't they been lying to us for years?
Yeah, but it's getting worse. I mean, the lying now, you know, I said before several months back or weeks back or minutes back, I have no idea anymore. Everything, you know, the reason we have time, who said this? So everything doesn't happen at once. But I have lost my ability to perceive time. At some point in one of these programs recently, I made the point that, yes, they've always lied, but at least in the recent past they would try to spin it, or they would try to shade it, or they would try to twist it a bit. Now they don't even bother. They just stand out, they being Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Condoleezza, Rummy, all of them. Now they just stand there and blatantly lie. The lies are on, the truth is on the record, and they lie.
Well, Mike,
so yes, they've always lied, Wayne, but now they don't even bother to try to make it sound like the truth.
If you go back to 64, though, with the Warren Report, that was the biggest lie that's ever been.
I understand, heard. But I can't go back to 64. I can't do it. I can't go back to 94. I can't go back 4 minutes. I just know we're here and now, and we're ended up to our eyeballs, Wayne. I'm really concerned. I ought to take a break. I ought to just calm down. This is ridiculous.
Let me tell you where I'm coming from.
Tell me.
There's a handful of people that got upset back in 64 with that lie.
Yeah.
With the idea that the government could murder its own president and then cover it up,
right.
You know, with the great liberal Chief Justice Earl Warren at the head of that that lie that was perpetrated.
Yes.
And have been spending 40 years trying to dig at the truth. Now, if we're going to say, okay, this lie about Iraq now is horrible, I mean, what's to keep people from spending 40 years trying to get at the truth of this and trying to convince the American people. I mean, we've had polls of 85% of the American people think there was a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
85% of the American people think the government has lied to them and covered it up. But nobody cares. Nobody, you know, it's not a
right.
big deal. You had the King family going down to Memphis
mm-hmm.
with a civil suit. They got a jury in 1 hour to say that the U.S. government murdered Martin Luther King. This is the same government that declared his birthday a national holiday.
Right.
And all of these politicians, I heard you talking about these limousine liberals. Well, you ask any of these presidential candidates, what are you going to do with the King files? You going to release those? They'll walk away from you so fast, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
get
mm-hmm.
me out of here.
Sure.
I don't want to talk about this. Oh, it's all conspiracy theory, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if I'm a conspiracy theorist, then so is Coretta Scott King. So is Martin Luther King III. So is Dexter King.
Right.
They're all conspiracy theories. They're all wide-eyed, crazy conspiracy theories.
Well, I think what it is, there are facts in this society that we choose to ignore. The Kennedy assassination being engineered by his enemies within the government, we choose to ignore that. The assassination of King, we choose to ignore that. I even question the assassination of Bobby Kennedy by Sirhan Sirhan. But there are things that we have just come. There are truths floating around in the society. And you're right. They will never be revealed. 40 years ago, Kennedy was assassinated. 40 years from now, people will still be talking about, when you and I are gone, people will still be talking about it. You know, yeah, well, what about this conspiracy? There are certain things, and I think you and I are in agreement with this, Wayne, unless there is some mystical act of some deity someplace, there are things we will never know.
But that same passivity is still there, regardless.
I hear you.
So with this Iraq lie, they're going to say the same thing.
Oh, yeah,
he lied, but they're not going to do anything about it.
And
That is, I think, you know, I've been seeing this for 40 years now, and I don't see what I'm supposed to expect to be different about this one.
I understand.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I just don't see, well, why is this going to be any different? In fact, it's going to be worse because we have a much weaker media than we had back in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't see, you know, people, use your common sense. George Bush says, oh, well, I have no idea who leaked. But I can tell you the three people that I know absolutely for sure did not. You know, now how in the hell does he know those three people didn't when he has no idea?
Well, because Uncle Dick whispered that in his ear.
Yeah.
I hear you, Wayne. I appreciate you checking in. I agree with everything you're saying, pal.
Okay. Take care.
All right. You too. Hey. Jessica is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. This your first time calling, Jessica?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. Okay, I thought it was.
It was a long time back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got about three things I want to touch base with real quick. One is just a reminder of back in October of last year when you were saying and we're talking about the IAEA and that they were refuting the Bush administration claims.
Right. Right.
And they said there was no indication of hazardous material remains of any significance, that
mm-hmm.
satellite photos were no good either, didn't prove anything, and that they didn't know where Bush was getting his information, where he was coming up with it, and so on, so on, so. And, of course, now he's having the IAEA go into Iran for him, right? For the weapons of mass destruction, I remember after the IAEA, he trashed Scott Ritter. I think the FBI was after him for saying we shouldn't go to war. There weren't the weapons of mass destruction. Then they got rid of Hans Blitz. And then Joe Wilson,
mm-hmm.
they're discrediting him, even though the IAEA, in about 45 minutes, I think, on a Google search, found out that Joe Wilson, all of his information was perfectly valid, that it was just forgery, and now he has David Kaye, $600 million on this next trip, because he's got to make Bush's dreams come true.
Right.
And I think that Condi and Bush have mushroom clouds of the brain. Now, for Guantanamo,
yeah.
You were talking about that, and that was really why I was going to call. I read a couple of years ago maybe, Journey into Madness by Gordon Thomas. Are you familiar with it?
I'm familiar with the title, and that's it.
Okay. He was going to co-author it with William Buckley, who was the CIA bureau chief in Beirut, who was
right.
kidnapped and tortured to death.
Was it William or James Buckley? Go ahead.
Well, it was Buckley. Okay. Anyway, the book is about, it's under Casey, that doing torture on Americans, and we can't do it in this country, it's against the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So it was being done in a hospital in Canada.
Hmm.
And how they were brainwashing them because, you know, maybe the Russians know something we don't know, so we have to work with these people and find out. It's a horrible story.
Mm-hmm.
But then how they will, send doctors to, I guess it was over in Korea, some of the prisoners. And, of course, the doctors being there during the torture are there in order to keep the torturer from killing the torturee.
Right.
Anyway, so when talking about Guantanamo and when they took them out of the country, that was, I had some thoughts about that, and I still do. And
well, yeah, you've got to be very suspicious when a government says we're going to arrest these people. They invent a term called illegal combatants. They deny them any sort of protection, and they garrison these people in not in the United States, but in Cuba and Afghanistan. This is total. Destruction of the U.S. Constitution, total destruction of our society and our system, and it's the Bush crime family that's doing it. There's no way to avoid that.
I think Frontline is probably going to be doing something out on the next show. I watched them tonight, which was their
We taped it at home. Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
The next one's going to be about sleeper cells. But then I listened to Claire Short. She was on C-SPAN 2 today.
Uh-huh.
And that woman is fantastic. You know, she resigned from Tony Blair's cabinet. And the way she sometimes was being gentle and sometimes she was being very forthright, which is what she is calling deceit and all of the deceit that went on. And her talk was excellent. And what she says is that Tony Blair was very economical with the truth.
That's a good one.
Jessica,
I've got to move on.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate you checking in. I'm trying to squeeze in a few more calls before it's go-home time. Dave is calling from Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine.
You know, I wanted to comment on the allegations of torture.
Right.
And my concern with that is it precisely what you're just talking about is the abasement of our constitutional principles and the whole idea that somehow it has to do with geography.
And it's not just the abasement of documents. It's the debasement of whatever moral thread, positive moral thread, runs through our institutions and our population. And it is the destruction of whatever ethical sense that Americans might think they have. It's astonishing what this Bush administration is doing in terms of destruction. Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come back because we got to take a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If you're hacking, just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing. Simply Cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Radio Free Speed Zone.
Welcome, one and all. Tony Trupiano with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everything is well where you're at. It is okie dokie where I sit.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Laughlin.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified, red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, he would have been 63 today. Back to Dave in Silverdale, Washington. We were talking about Guantanamo, I think, weren't we?
Well, we are, but I need to talk about it in a more abstract level.
Okay.
The allegations are out there. My concern before the allegations, you know, that you mentioned tonight, though, were that the conditions are simply ripe because we have dehumanized those people.
Yes, we have, yes.
We should have learned from the Nazi experience in Germany that... And the My Lai massacre and, you know, different events that have happened around the world is that, you know, first, before you do things to people like that, you dehumanize them.
Right.
And that, you know, democracy is not about geographic boundaries. The founders of the Constitution, well, I should say not all the founders, people like Jefferson and Franklin felt very strongly that democracy was about a human condition. It was about humanity and certain essential rights that all human beings had. the original Republicans didn't like that, and of course came up with the idea that, you know, blacks were only four-fifths of a human being and so forth. So they've always wanted to dehumanize and demonize others. But Abraham Lincoln, a Republican who was actually a Democrat, basically, though, extended the concept of democracy to all human beings in the world.
Right.
So that we don't have a right simply because we stick them on an island that's not in the physical boundaries of the United States to treat them as something subhuman.
No, we don't. And American does not actually any national group of people or individuals within their group do not have the right to take other human beings and torture them. I don't care what the issue is, you know. And I've heard the lies. What if somebody were had planted a nuclear device was going to blow up New York, and you had to torture them to get the information? I'm sorry, I still say torture is not a device that should be used by civilized people. Of course, the civilized people would not plant a nuclear bomb in Manhattan either.
And Mike, there's a practical reason for that. The Israelis found out that torture is simply unreliable. You can, and I'll share with you that.
Hey, listen, can you call back tomorrow and we'll pick it up? Because
I'd love to.
We're flat out of time. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
All right, sir. I appreciate your patience. Program engineered tonight by in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces. Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive, thank you. Our webmaster, check it out, MikeMalloy.com, and play with our militant mods who watch the comments board for you. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and everybody who contributes to this program. What the hell would we do without you? I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is